Ephesians thus far. It has been, I've been really enjoying this season. Really enjoying it. Looking at what Christ has done for us, chapters 1 to 3 of Ephesians. By the way, there is no PowerPoint this morning. Apologies, no PowerPoint. But if you've got Bibles, if it's on your phone, if it's a paper Bible, it really would be useful for you to have it open. Because today we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 through to chapter 6 and verse 9. But we've looked at what Christ has done for us, who we are in Christ, that's chapters 1 to 3, and then we're looking at chapters 4 to 6. How do we live in response to that? What does it mean to live godly lives, reinforcing what Christ has taught us? That's chapter 4 to 9. And today we come to chapter 5, verse 21 to 6, 9. And I have to say, these are the verses that very often get missed out because people don't want to teach on them. They think, oh, this doesn't suit the culture we live in. So it's up to me to hope you see that it does. So I've asked Megan, my lovely friend Megan, to read it to you, and then I shall talk after that. Okay?
Yes. Ephesians 5, 21 to 6, verse 9. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the saviour of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church, and we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you, and you will have a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. As the slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each one of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favourites.
Thank you. There's a lot in this, isn't there? So to some people who read these verses, they can seem a little bit out of touch with our 21st century way of living. They're not really relevant to modern society. But if we just make assumptions, we're in huge danger of missing out how God would have us live. When we read about Jesus ushering in the kingdom of God, I think it's very easy for us to miss just how radical, how countercultural his teaching and subsequently his disciples' teaching was for the time. Promoting and elevating the role of women, recognizing children, changing the perception of the boss and the worker, respecting the poor, the weak, the marginalized. The kingdom of God gives hope to the least, the last, and the lost. The kingdom of God shows a better way forward. to live. So what do we make of today's reading? Firstly, please do not read it in isolation. Please do not take one verse and take it out of context. If you want, go back to chapter 5, verse 15 and onwards. And it says, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, like those, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. It doesn't seem like a lot's changed, does it, in nearly 2,000 years? The times we live in are still have evil throughout. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord would have you do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, this is a clear instruction. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts and give thanks for everything. Let's be a grateful people with an attitude of gratitude and give thanks for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And further, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, which we will come back to again and again. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Not because someone's told you to do it, but because we love Jesus. These chapters are a continuation of how we live our best godly lives. And in this short section that you heard Megan read, Paul addresses husbands and wives, parents and children, slaves and masters, or we could translate that to bosses and workers. And before anyone says, well, I don't fit in any of these categories, so it doesn't apply to me, even if you're not married, even if you don't have children, even if you are neither master nor servant, the principles apply to us all. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So let's look very briefly at each of these. Husbands and wives. Paul is writing to the church. He says, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Now, in a society that gave very, very little value to women, a society in which men were considered superior to women, and where women were often treated horribly. How countercultural then that Paul not only addresses women in his letter, not only does he include them in, but he makes a point of giving them equal value, asserting that they have equal standing before God and in Christ. In fact, and Paul says in another of his letters, in the book of Galatians, a book to the church in Galatia, he says this, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. That's Galatians 3, verse 28. See, Paul is not just affirming the equality of women with men, but recognizing that men and women have different and complementary roles within marriage. Dave Smith, not our Dave Smith, we love our Dave Smith, but Dave Smith, who leads the church in Peterborough, he says this in his book on transformed living. He said, in a culture where men effectively ruled the household and women were expected to be subservient, it is significant that Paul urges wives to voluntarily submit to their husbands. However, he does so not as a way of reinforcing the cultural norms, but by grounding this in something deeper than culture. He grounds it in the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church, where all believers are exhorted to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This does not mean that wives are to be doormats or to do things that would be sinful or contrary to what Paul has already taught, nor that women should submit to all men. Rather, he is treating Christian wives. He's appealing that they submit to their husbands, not as the right thing to do, but in a way to express their reverence for Christ. So the wives, if you look at this passage, effectively get 2.5 verses. Well, husbands, you get 7 verses. And you get to die. You see, if you are a Greek husband living in Ephesus, in a male-dominated culture, and you've been listening to this letter read to you, you would probably be nodding quite sagely up to this point. Yes, that's right. Wives should submit. Yes. That's easy. But Dave Smith says in the book, once we get to this verse, once you get to these verses where Paul starts addressing the husbands, they were probably looking at each other and going, you what? I've got to do what? I've got to die? In this male-dominated culture, the expectation that a husband would voluntarily submit to his wife through sacrificial love, thinking only of her benefit, was quite frankly ridiculous. What was it, Sue? Ridiculous. It was beyond the imagination of any Ephesians husband. And to do it as Christ loved the church and gave up his life for her. I wonder, husbands, how many of us would have signed up if we'd known that part of the deal was we have to die. But that's the high calling that Jesus calls us to as husbands. In order to show you love her, you need to die for her. John Stott, the great Bible teacher, said this. He said, the church's head is the church's bridegroom. That makes us the bride. He does not crush the church. Rather, he sacrificed himself to serve her in order that she might become everything that he longs for her to be. Namely, herself in the fullness of glory. Just so, a husband should never use his headship to crush or to stifle his wife or to frustrate her from being herself. His love will lead him and will lead her in the exact opposite path. He will give himself for her in order that she may develop to her full potential under God and so become more completely herself. So, as I said to Sam and Kayla at their wedding and to Samuel and Miriam at theirs, a good mantra for marriage, for both parties, is you're good at my expense. You're good at my expense. That's what Jesus did for us. And that's how we reveal it. We reveal his love. And what does love look like? Well, it's not necessarily flowers and chocolates and hearts, nor necessarily cuddles and smooches and long gazes, although it can be all of those things. But for Sue, it's a cup of tea in bed in the morning. It's knowing that on a Thursday I'll put the bins out and I will have checked beforehand which bin has to go out. And when she's screaming, there's a spider! I'll come running to deal with this great hairy monster. You see, as Don Francisco sang, love is not a feeling, it's an act of the will. And this call to sacrificial love is a challenge to all Christians. It doesn't come naturally. It only comes as we are continually filled with his Holy Spirit. Both husbands and wives are not to love and respect their husbands. By the way, in verse 33, note there's a different word. It's respect. But we're not to do this for the sake of cultural conformity. We're not to do it because it's a duty, but we do it out of loving respect for Christ, who has loved and saved both husband and wife and all of us by his amazing grace. So this is a picture of Christ and his church, with Christ as the head, with Christ as the bridegroom, us as the bride. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way that Christ and the church are one. So, again, I say, this is Paul in verse 33. So I say again, each man must love his wife as he loves himself. And guys, if you're not loving yourselves, how can you possibly love the wife that God's given you? And the wife must respect the husband. So, back to 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence or respect for Christ. And then we come to parents and children. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, and this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you. I wonder how many of you here consider yourselves to be children? Hands up if you consider yourself to be children. Okay, some hands still down. Let me ask another question. How many of you have ever had a mother or a father? You see, this includes all of us. And whereas the word obey your parents probably, and this is supposition, but probably was referring to children under the age of 12, 13 when they would become adults, and the word there was obey, there is no time distinction on honor your father and mother. And even if your parents are no longer alive, the implication that we still honor them is there. And if we do, it says things will go well for you and you will have a long life on the earth. Parents. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, another of Paul's letters to the church in Colossians, he says, fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. This is so countercultural. Children would have been expected to be seen and not heard. That's not just Victorian. That is the culture of the Middle East. Do not get in the way of your father, kids. And if he tells you to do something, you do it. And they were treated as commodities. But he says, do not aggravate your children. Do not provoke your children. It's out of respect. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It's countercultural. It's a different way of living. And we are all children. And then he goes on to slaves and masters. And he says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. And it goes on, and then later on it says, actually, let's read it. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm, as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each of us for the good we do. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. You know, some people discount this part because they say the Bible shouldn't condone slavery. Do you know what? The Bible doesn't condone slavery. But for Paul writing this, in a culture where slaves were so much the norm and had been for hundreds of years, where slaves were actually well respected in so many families, they were welcomed in. It's not like I'm here to beat you. But in this culture, it would be like us trying to imagine a culture where there was no electricity. Imagine in 20 years if someone says, well, electricity is bad, and they look back and they say, well, what were they doing in the 21st century? So Paul writes to the culture that he's living in, and we can apply the principles. Because what he was saying was slaves and masters, this is a two-way arrangement out of reverence for Christ. There were Christian slaves and there were Christian masters. And the way you do things will show a different way of living. And the way you do things will reflect better and show the kingdom of God. And others will see it and realize you're different. Why? Because the love of God is in you. So we can apply equally to masters and workers, can't we? I love the fact that it says, try to please them all the time, not just when they're watching you. Imagine that, switching that into our culture, where the number of commercial operations will actually see where, how many keystrokes you're doing on your computer. Are you really there? Have you just put up a screensaver of your face instead of the camera? Have we got cameras, CCTV? Because the world's way is, what can I get away with? It was exactly the same here, but we live differently. And remember, neither of you can lord it over the other, because we both have the same master in heaven. And he has got no favorites. Remember that verse we went back to? There is neither slave nor master. Let's find it. There's no longer Jew nor Gentile, slave nor free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. If you want another verse that you can tag onto this, Matthew 20 and verse 28 says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, the Son of Man came not to be served, he came to serve others, to give his life as a ransom for many. So how do we reveal to the culture that we live in the God of love that we serve? How do we live counterculturally? How do we follow Jesus' example? How do we seek to serve and not to be served? Well, wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, die for your wives. Children of all ages, honor and respect your parents. Parents, don't exasperate your kids. Workers, work hard even when you're not being watched. And bosses, treat your workers well, because God's got no favorites. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, and you won't go far wrong.